Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Democratic-controlled House Judiciary Panel continues to debate whether Attorney General Bill Barr should be held in contempt of Congress. The Justice Department not honoring a subpoena to produce Special Counsel Robert Mueller's unredacted final report on the Russia probe, and Democrats are slamming President Trump's assertion of executive privilege over that report. Here's Representative Ted Deutsch of Florida.
The committee issued a subpoena for information gathered by the Special Counsel. There's no privilege for this information. Executive privilege is not a cloak of secrecy that drapes across our nation's capital from the White House to the Justice Department.
Republicans are accusing House Democrats of continuing a war against President Trump and of trying to litigate the outcome of the 2016 presidential election. And you are listening to USA Radio News.
Pros know getting the next job means doing this one right, on time and on budget. Lowe's is here to help by stocking the brands you trust to power through any job, like Hitachi Power Tools, soon to be known as Metabo HPT, and DeWalt. Stop in now during Hitachi Days and get a 3.5-inch 21-degree framing nailer now for just $169. And stay in charge on the job longer with a 4-pack of DeWalt 20-volt max batteries, now just $179. For tools you can trust to get the job done right, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 5/12. See store for details, U.S. only.
Hey guys, your prostate should be the last thing on your mind. But the fact is, the older you get, the more likely you'll have prostate problems, which can affect your everyday life. That's where Prostate Complete by Real Health comes in. Prostate Complete is the result of 20 years of experience as a leader in men's health. The powerful formula in Prostate Complete supports natural prostate function and reduced urinary urges for a better quality of life. Available at Walmart. Visit prostateoneperday.com for special offers. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Police in Colorado now say that the one person killed in yesterday's school shooting near Denver was an 18-year-old male student of the school. Eight other people were injured. The suspects, 18-year-old Devin Erickson and an unidentified 17-year-old, the latter of whom is believed to have been a transgender in the process of transitioning from female to male. If you use Uber or Lyft to get around on a regular basis, today you'll have to make alternate arrangements, as drivers for both ride services nationwide are taking part in a one-day strike. This Uber driver in Washington, D.C. says,
"The top five executives have done over $140 million last year, while drivers all over the place don't have enough money."
One of the last surviving members of the Tuskegee Airmen from World War II, Dr. Granville Coggs of Texas, has died at 93. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
The world finally gets its first look at the latest royal baby in England as Meghan Markle and Prince Harry were showing the baby boy off outside Windsor Castle a short time ago.
I mean, parenting is amazing. It's only been, what, 2.5 days, 3 days?
Yeah.
But we're just so thrilled to have our own little bundle of joy and be able to spend some precious times with him as he slowly starts to grow up.
The couple still has not announced a name for the seventh in line to the British throne. Oakland A's pitcher Mike Fiers throwing a no-hitter. Dangerous storms again threatening the south central U.S. today. Tornadoes reported in Texas near the Panhandle as well as into Oklahoma. Hail as large as baseballs falling in the region as flooding became a concern late yesterday. Rising waters are now dangerous in areas around Houston as well as parts of Kansas. And a tornado watch is now in effect in north-central Texas into southeastern Kansas through late this morning. And a leaked version of a new Pokemon movie turns out to be just a prank. A new YouTube video claims it's the full version of Pokemon Detective Pikachu, starring Ryan Reynolds. The video starts out with the actual opening credits of the Warner Brothers movie, but it appears that then it's just 2 hours of Pikachu dancing around. Find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program, and I am coming to you streaming via my phone and also a podcast through the Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I have my master's in counseling. I am nationally certified as a counselor. And I'm a licensed professional counselor here in the state of New Jersey, which means I get to practice counseling. And I have a small practice here in Flemington. I have been in practice for about 20 years, and it's something that I love doing, working with people and helping to create better mental health. This is also Mental Health Awareness Month. And if you go on to Counselor's Chat on Facebook, you could view my show from last week where I talk about mental health in general. In addition, this week is Depression and Anxiety Awareness Week, which is a good thing in terms of it's falling within the range of Mental Health Awareness Month. And I must also say this, as a licensed professional counselor, my goal is to work towards encouraging people to seek out mental health counseling. I represent the New Jersey Mental Health Counseling Association, New Jersey Counseling Association, and it's all about developing good mental health. So depression and anxiety, these things are rather pervasive in our society, and I think we all struggle at times with some depression and with some anxiety. It is when it affects our life to the point where we can't move forward and we can't participate in our daily life. That is when it really becomes a heavy burden to carry. Now, what is the difference between depression and anxiety? Well, depression is when I think about the past, I dwell on the past, I have regrets about the past, I feel shame about the past, I berate myself for past mistakes, and it's about living in the past. Dwelling, I love that word, dwelling, you know, a dwelling. My dwelling place is my home, it's where I live, so I'm dwelling in the past. I keep thinking and focusing on the past. Anxiety, on the other hand, is living in the future, filled with worry, dread, fear. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if I can't make this happen? What if I say the wrong thing? What's going to happen in politics? What's going to happen to the world? What's going to happen to the universe? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? I'm really worried and scared about the future to the point where it may even prevent me from making some decisions about moving forward in my life because I'm too afraid of what might happen. The fear of and the dread of the possibility of horrible things. Or I may even say, and this is where we can combine the two, I've had terrible things happen to me in the past. I'm really afraid I'm going to have more terrible things happen to me in the future. So there are symptoms for depression and anxiety. And depression and anxiety also can be related to real biological and chemical issues within the brain. So that means your brain is not functioning 100%. Your neurotransmitters may not be working. You may not be producing enough neurotransmitters. Sometimes medication is important for depression or anxiety. Studies, however, have shown that talk therapy, which is what I do, is sometimes sufficient and or even equal to that of medication. So that means if I have depression or anxiety, or I can have both. I can have depression with anxiety. I can have anxiety with depression. If I go and I talk about it, chances are I may have come up with a way to resolve it. Now, this happens because of something that we call neuroplasticity. That means that our brain actually can build new neurons. It's always changing and developing. And it's something that in the past 25, 30 years, we've really been looking at a lot more closely. We've generally based counseling and therapy on behavior. So, you know, what are you doing? And what do I see? So you're telling me how you're depressed, can't get out of bed, you lack motivation, you don't want to eat anything, you're just sad, irritable. These are just some symptoms of depression. And when these things happen, we can talk about making changes, behavioral changes, which may include the way we think about things. So when we do that, we can actually start changing the way our brain works. One of the things that I talk about quite often is mindfulness, and I share that with my clients all the time. So if we dwell on the past and we're filled with regrets and resentments and all kinds of things from the past, that's our depression. And if we are so focused on all of the anxiety and worry about what's going to happen in the future, we miss the present. So we've got one foot in the past, we've got one foot in the present, in the future, and we are missing what is going on in the present moment. And this is really where mindfulness can play a huge role. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about mindfulness a little bit later in the show. But anxiety and depression, like I said, can be treated with medication. And if you are on medication for anxiety and or depression or both, it works even better if you seek out counseling. I'm sorry about that. Just a little aside, the equipment here in the radio station isn't working 100%, so I'm doing this via my phone on Facebook, so I just shifted things and that's why it fell. So anyway, the thing about anxiety, I'm giving you some things about depression. Anxiety, I can't sleep very well, I have racing thoughts, I may have panic attacks, I may have phobias. Phobia, I'm afraid to fly, I'm afraid of spiders, I'm afraid of elevators, I'm afraid of speaking in front of people, I don't want to go to high places, all those things. Anxiety will also include post-traumatic stress. So I may have had a traumatic event happen in the past, and it's showing itself now through flashbacks, night terrors, startle reactions, hypervigilance. This is an anxiety disorder. So I'm very anxious about what happened in the past, and it gets triggered by something that's going on in the present moment. In addition, we have obsessive compulsive disorders. These are also an anxiety-based disorder. It no longer is, same thing with post-traumatic stress, it's got its own classification. However, it still is an anxiety disorder. Obsessive-compulsive disorder has its own classification, and it is still an anxiety disorder. So my level of anxiety gets really high, and I have developed a way of dealing with it through washing my hands 15, 20 times till my hands are raw, turning light switches on and off, checking to see if the windows or my car are rolled up, making sure that the stove is turned off. Those are some of them, some of those things. Counting, I might do a lot of counting. I might need to have things organized in a particular way. So all of my clothes in my closet are, all the reds are together and the blues are together and all of those kinds of things. And my books have to be lined up and everything needs to be just exactly so. There might be some obsessive compulsive issues around, I think, did I cause that event? Did I make that happen? Is there something that I did so that it's a little bit like a magical thinking? So I think that my own thought process might have created something, and so I'm really afraid of what I'm thinking. It may be that I've passed an animal, dead animal, on the side of the road, and did I do that? Did there something that I thought about that caused that animal to die? That's actually obsessive compulsive thinking. Hoarding. People don't think of hoarding as an obsessive compulsive issue because we tend to think of OCD as being super clean, super neat, super organized, but it can go the other way. So that hoarding, I can't throw anything out. It's a compulsion. I can't let it go. I need more. There's a sense of safety of having so much stuff and clutter around you, and the inability to throw out. What if I need that? What if in the future I run out of twist ties? I have 20,000 boxes of them. I have hundreds of thousands of twist ties. I need more just in case I run out. That is an obsessive compulsive issue. That is an anxiety issue. So anxiety is a little bit more complex than just worried about the future. So there are other aspects to it, as I said, like obsessive compulsive disorder and post-traumatic stress disorder. The thing about depression and anxiety in general is they are disorders. And as a disorder, disorders are treatable. They're not necessarily curable, depending upon how hard you work on it, but they are treatable. So what do I mean by that? And then we'll talk a little bit more about neuroplasticity. So one of the things that I do a lot of times with my clients, I have a little whiteboard and I draw pictures on it, and I draw a picture of big highway. I say Route 78. So I've got this huge, wide, well-worn, well-used pathway in my brain. But along 78, and I apologize for not exactly remembering that, and there, that's a good reason, because 78 is so big, and it's an interstate. It's huge. Next to it, between Clinton and Phillipsburg, is there's this little 179 or 175 or something. And it runs the length right alongside 78, and it doesn't get used very often. It's this rinky-dinky little road. You can get off of it to go into Clinton or go other places, but it's there. And it's not used very much. It's not a very wide pathway. The other thing, too, if you think about the road, a sidewalk, okay, it's traveled on a lot, it's paved. Oh, I see a shortcut. Let me cut across the lawn. I cut across the lawn, you don't even notice. The more we cut across the lawn, we begin to trample down the grass. Grass stops growing, gets a little muddy. We put down stones. The stones get a little muddy. They get mushed into the ground. So we say, well, we're going to put a sidewalk. We're creating a new pathway. The interesting thing, our brain works the same way. However, the old sidewalk doesn't necessarily disappear. If we start using that road like crazy next to 78 and we stop using 78, we are going to have to build and widen that road, 173, or again, I don't remember. I don't use it that much. It's not a pathway in my brain. But the more we use it, the more we may need to make it wider, the more prevalent it gets used, it becomes another huge, wide, super wide interstate. 78 begins to show its cracks, grass begins to grow through it, nobody uses it, animals are now there, trees are growing, it's still there, the pavement is still there. You know, there are carriage roads that are some places here in New Jersey that you can still see, they're not used at all, but they say, look, you know, that was a carriage road once, look how the trees are growing, and you could follow, there's even some ruts in the, you know, from carriages. But that's exactly what happens in our brain. So we can build new pathways in our brain, The more we use a new way of thinking, the more that pathway becomes stronger, and the other one atrophies, so it gets weaker and smaller, but it doesn't disappear. That's what I mean by there is treatment, not necessarily a cure. So if I am depressed, I'm feeling really hopeless, I feel like life is just too hard. It's too hard. I just stay in bed. I may have a biological chemical issue, so some antidepressant may work, but I really do also need to go talk to someone. I need to find out some of the root cause and get some information on how I can change those pathways in my brain. So sometimes these things, both anxiety and depression, can be related and treated with cognitive behavioral therapy. So what is cognitive behavioral therapy? We hear about it, CBT and DBT. DBT is dialectic behavioral therapy. It's a little bit more, I'm not going to say intense, well, maybe a little bit more intense. The thing is that they're both about noticing what we think and changing it. So awareness is a huge key. So the first thing is, it's an ABC situation. So I have an activating event. I use this all the time. So I'm just going to use, somebody cut in front of me at the grocery store. The line was long. They cut in front of me. And I am now really angry. And I even curse at them. I go, what the are you doing cutting in front of me? Person may respond back. Next thing you know, we're arguing. May even go out in the parking lot. See, this person's pulling out and I ran my car into them. How dare they? Okay. See, my behavior and my anger is related to a belief system. The belief system says people should not cut in front of me. Now, someone else may have a different belief system. Sure, go ahead. Not a problem. You only have a few items. Go right ahead. You can get in front of me. I don't mind. Different belief system. If I have a belief system that says life is unfair, that if bad things happen, they're going to happen to me. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. Not only that, all I do is make mistakes. I'm dumb. I'm stupid. I can't ever accomplish anything. Chances are the consequence to that is depression. The other thing is, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm really afraid. I believe that bad things are going to happen in the future. I'm afraid that I'm going to make huge mistakes in the future. There's my anxiety. So what happens with cognitive behavioral therapy is I get to look at, find out what my belief systems are and begin to change them. Because we can change belief systems. Because if I have a belief system that doesn't work for me, if its consequence is depression, if its consequence is anxiety, then, and I have a tool to be able to change it, to build new pathways in my brain, I think I'd like to do that. So it's a combination of those things. When I begin to practice thinking differently, I'm going to have different results. Now, I had the good fortune to take a course with Albert Ellis. And Albert Ellis is the father of rational emotive behavioral therapy, which is a cognitive behavioral theory. And it is that ABC system. They're all ABC systems. And one of the things that he said that I oftentimes share with people is that as humans, we have three basic belief systems that get in our way. They're irrational. He calls them irrational. So, excuse me, the first one is everything has to be perfect and it's not okay to make a mistake. So if that is my belief system, when I do make a mistake or if something didn't turn out right, my consequence is I'm going to berate myself and I'm going to be depressed. In addition, I may be afraid to do something again in the future because I've already messed it up in the past. Therefore, I'm afraid to take action and I have anxiety. So these are the consequences. When we begin to recognize that things aren't perfect, that we learn from mistakes, say, I'm changing the way I think. It's okay to make a mistake. I'm not a bad person if I make a mistake. I can make an amend. I can change things. I can learn new techniques. I can develop in a new way so that mistakes is not something that I strive to do, but I don't hate myself for it or beat myself up or yell at my kids for making a mistake or my wife or my husband or whatever the situation. I'm okay. People make mistakes. It happens. So the consequence then changes. I'm not angry. I'm not depressed. My self-esteem isn't affected. I'm not filled with anxiety. The next one that he says, Albert Ellis, is that everybody absolutely has to love me, like me, and approve of me. Now, if I have that, if I believe that everyone must absolutely like me, love me, and approve of me, and I come across someone that does not like me, love me, and approve of me, I'm crushed. I'm crushed. I'm depressed. I say, what's wrong with me? So my self-esteem is just dashed. And I'm in pain. I'm just filled with it. Just really, it's just awful. So there's the depression. The other part is the anxiety. What if they don't like me? What do I need to do to make sure people like me? As a matter of fact, I don't know if I'm still likable, so I'm not going to even go meet people because I'm afraid they may not like me, love me, and oh my gosh, approve of me? I absolutely need people to approve of me. Heck, you know what? Maybe one of the things that I've always wanted to do is paint or cook or do something creative. Play the piano. I know for me, I still have anxiety over playing the piano in front of people because I'm afraid they're going to make a comment. See, that's my anxiety. What if? What if I make a mistake on that? That one's a deep issue for me. Still working on it. But the thing is that when we have that need or belief system that we need to be approved, that we need to be loved, that we need to be accepted, the consequences are, again, depression and anxiety. Oh my gosh, if you come to my house and you see the papers all over my kitchen, what if you don't like me? I have to make sure everything is neat and organized, and I never know when somebody's just going to stop over. So now I'm moving more even to an obsessive compulsive. I've got to make sure everything is put away all the time in a way that would be clean and neat. And gosh, what if they have so I have to be perfect with it. And what if those people think something awful of me? There's the anxiety, the obsession. It really doesn't work well. The more I practice that way of thinking, the deeper, the wider that pathway. I got Route 78 running through my head on clean and neat and organized and what ifs. If I learn to say it's okay, people are not coming over to see me, to see how organized I am. They're not coming over to judge me on my messy kitchen counter with all my paperwork. Then I'm okay with it. My belief system changes. My consequence changes. The last one that Albert Ellis talked about was that life has to be fair, easy, and hold guarantees. So these belief systems can cause a lot of depression and a lot of anxiety. Life is not fair. Life has not been fair to almost everybody that I've ever met. We have all had disappointments, we have all had heartbreaks, we've all had things happen to us, and it isn't fair. But the reality is, that is the reality. Sometimes we have to grieve losses. Life isn't fair, I've lost a job, I've lost a situation, I've lost a friend, I've lost a house, I've lost many things, it's not fair the way it happened, I may have to grieve that loss and move on with my life. Things in terms of being easy. I struggle with that one when it comes to, and I may have even said this before, my New Year's resolution. Yeah, I know it's May and I'm still talking about my New Year's resolution. You make that phone call. So last night, made a phone call to Home Depot. We're looking to get some air conditioning in our house. And I made a phone call. And it says, please wait for the to choose from the list of who you want to talk to. And then the phone went quiet. It didn't disconnect. It just went quiet. 3 minutes later, if you're interested in large appliance, it's number one. Like, are you for, okay, so I could feel my, I'm going to call it anxiety and anger coming up as I'm waiting. Do I hang up? What do I do? This just shouldn't be like this. There's my should. Should is a huge indication. That word should. I can't stand it. When we have those belief systems in play, it shouldn't be this hard. See, I think it should be easy. Pick up the phone, you make your phone call, you get your response, you resolve the issue. It should be easy. It really, I don't know, my experience, I don't know if your experience, it never really is easy. And a phone call that you say, that I say, should take about 3 minutes to resolve, 20 minutes later. Okay, so I get really frustrated with that because I have a belief system that should be easy. And guarantees, what if it doesn't work out? See, there's the anxiety. I need to know that this is going to work out okay. I can't go on that job interview. What if I don't get it? I can't plan an event. What if nobody comes? I can't do things because I can't cook. What if I mess up? I need to have a guarantee. I can't do any kind of repairs around the house. I may screw up and make it worse. I need a guarantee to know that I'm going to be able to get it right the first time, because on top of everything else, it's not okay to make a mistake. It has to be perfect. You know what? I'm having anxiety just talking about all of this. But that is a consequence of belief systems. So, again, I want to stress that, yes, we can have anxiety that is a chemically based issue, and we do need medication. But I find for many of the people that I work with that it is an issue that is around the way we think about something, our belief systems. Even when I have somebody who's got an obsessive compulsive disorder, somebody who has post-traumatic stress issues, the anxiety that gets raised because when I was a kid, I went ice skating and I fell through the ice. And even getting ice cubes out of the refrigerator causes a great amount of anxiety. Like, oh, it's ice. It's just ice. So I need to work on my belief system that ice cubes are actually pretty safe, that all it's doing is triggering a post-traumatic stress issue. And that it becomes more manageable. So, one of the things, and I know I haven't taken any commercial breaks, I'm just going to wait to the end to do that, because I'm streaming live over my phone. One of the things I talked about, depression is about living in the past, dwelling in the past, and that anxiety is about concerns of the future. The only thing I can do about the past, I can't change it. I don't know anybody that can change. We have not yet invented time travel. But the only thing that the past can do for me is it can help me learn from my past mistakes. So it's okay to not be perfect. It's okay to make a mistake. What can I learn from the mistakes that I've made? Not just me as a person, but even us as a